Well, good morning, everybody, again. Well, I'm going to speak to you this morning from Colossians and Ephesians. So let's turn first to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's pray before we begin. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful for your mercies that are new each day. We are thankful that you are a God who is gracious, a God who is slow to anger, who is abundant in loving kindness. Father, we're thankful that you've saved us, that you've called us out of our sin. We are thankful for the time that you've given us here to worship you together and to honor you. Father, we are thankful for the children that you've blessed us with. And we ask this morning, Lord, that you would meet with us, that you would speak to us through your word, that you would speak to the hearts of these children, that you would save some, that you'd show them their sin, that you'd show them their need of a Savior, that you'd show them Jesus Christ. We ask for the work of your Spirit this morning. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read the first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 3 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. So those are basically the same things there that Paul writes to us in Ephesians and in Colossians. He gives us a little bit more in Ephesians. I feel like I'm like right on top of this mic. Is everybody okay? Or should I back up? Okay. All right. So he says basically the same things there, but he gives us a little bit more information in Ephesians. And so this morning I want to speak first of all to the children. Last year when I spoke, I taught on discipline, fathers and parents, disciplining and nurturing, training our children. Well, this morning I'd like to first of all address the children. And when I speak of children, I mean the younger children, children who are still in the houses of their fathers and mothers, not us children who are grown and now fathers also. But you children, the Lord here gives you a specific command, a very clear command. It's not an optional thing that Paul writes to us here. If you remember, this is also in the Ten Commandments. This is going way back that the Lord has instructed children to obey their parents. So obedience is not a small thing. Does anybody know what the penalty for obedience was in the Old Testament under the law?
Stoning.
The Lord said that those children who were disobedient to their parents, were continually disobedient, should be taken out and stoned. And so the Lord does not view stoning as a small, or does not view disobedience as a small thing. You children, when the Bible says to obey your parents, it's a serious thing. It's not a light thing. It's something that you should take to heart and that you should obey. You should listen. Listen to the Lord, because when you disobey your parents, you're not only disobeying your parents, you're disobeying the Lord. You are doing exactly the opposite of what He has commanded you to do. Paul in Romans 1 gives us a list of sins that reveal the wrath of God upon man. In Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, he says, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and disobedient to parents. Do you think of your disobedience in that line, in that, as a serious offense, as murder, as haters of God, as insolent? That's how the Lord views disobedience. It's not a small thing. So you children this morning, I want you to listen and pay attention and understand that what I'm speaking to you this morning is serious. The Lord has given a clear command. You children who are believers, some of you have professed faith in Christ. Well, this is a command from the Lord that you be obedient to your parents. Others of you also who are not Christians, it's still a command to you. Be obedient. Be obedient to your parents. So disobedience is a serious thing. The Lord frowns upon disobedience. Well, what is obedience? I'm asking that as a question for you children. What does it mean to obey? Okay, to listen. What else? Can you say, is there something else? What was that? To do what they say quickly. Okay, good. Very good answer. Very good. What else? What else is obedience involved? Okay, not doing what they didn't tell you to do. Well, obedience is all of those things. Obedience is not only doing what you're told, but it involves a lot more than that, children. Obedience involves doing what you're told when you're told to do it. Okay? Not 20 minutes later, not an hour later, not even a minute later, but doing it when you're told. Immediate. Anything less is not obedience, it's sin. So it's doing what you're told, when you're told. It's also doing it how you're told to do it. If you're told to go do something and you do it your own way instead of the way of your parents, is that obedience?
No.
No, it's not. It's doing your own thing. It's not obeying your parents. Again, that's wrong. That's sin. The Lord is displeased with that. One other thing that's involved here is the right attitude. Okay, somebody in the back said that. Good. Doing it with the right attitude. Is it true, God-honoring obedience, for me to tell you, go out here and empty the trash can that's out here, and for you to walk out there grumbling and complaining and whining as you go to do it? Is that obedience? It's kind of a partial obedience, but it's not God-honoring obedience. It's not pleasing to the Lord. So you children, this morning, what I'm telling you is obedience involves more than just doing what you're told. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, how you're told, and with the right attitude. Anything less is not honoring to God and is not obeying your parents. Does that make sense? Are we clear there? All right. Parents, now a word to you. That's obedience.
Yes.
Anything less than that requires action on your part.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That requires discipline. That requires a spanking. The Lord's given us clear instruction. We dealt with that last year. That requires discipline. This is the mark. This is what is required. This is what the Lord expects. Anything less is not honoring to Him. And when you allow your children to do anything less, you are in sin. Now we've passed from not only is the child sinning, but the parent is sinning. We're doing what the Lord's told us not to do. Okay, and so again, is it a light thing? Is it a small thing? Well, he's doing it. I know he's crying. I know he's whining. But he's doing it. So we're just going to let little Johnny go on and do his thing. No. No, that's sin. That's not only sin on the child's part, that's sin on the parent's part. You are dishonoring the Lord. You are sinning against the Lord then. You're both in sin.
Yes.
This is clear from Scripture. Look at the example that we have of Israel. What were some of the sins that the Lord, that we hear time and time again? What was Israel? They're just a complaining people, right? The Lord was displeased with His children, the nation of Israel, over their grumbling, their complaining, their murmuring. It was constant, and the Lord was displeased. The right attitude is essential. It must be there. If it's not, it needs to be dealt with. So children, parents, we have a grave responsibility here to be obedient. We need to be obedient to the Lord as parents. Children, you need to be obedient to your mothers and your fathers. So, how grave is this sin of disobedience? Well, it'll send you to hell, right? Any sin at all, will merit you eternal destruction, eternal punishment. And so, you children, what I want you to understand is that every time that you sin, you are storing up wrath for the day of judgment. The Lord will not wink at your disobedience and your other sins just because you're children. And so I want to say to you children, those of you who do not know the Lord, repent. A day will come. A day will come when it is too late. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Will you obey? Will you obey the command of the Lord, or will you continue in your disobedience? Seek Him. Seek Him while you still can.
Yes.
Seek Him while there is time.
Yes.
Call upon His name. None have ever sought Him in vain.
Right.
It is a wonderful thing that we have to know that Christ came to save sinners. He came to save children as well. You children will not make it to heaven on the coattails of your parents. If mom and dad are good Christians, that's wonderful. That's great. And they ought to raise you in the right way. But that's not going to get you into heaven.
No.
You will answer for your sin. You will give an account one day. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Call unto Him. Come to the Savior. You children who know the Lord, what is one way to show your love for the Lord? Obedience, right? What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. If we love Jesus, if we love the Lord, we will obey. What's a way to show love to your parents? Obey them. Obey them all the time. With the right attitude. Immediately. Doing what they say when they say. That's how we show our love to the Lord, by obeying His commands. That's how we show our love to our parents, by obeying their commands. There's nothing more pleasing to a parent than watching their son or their daughter do what they just got done telling them. Especially when it's a difficult thing. Especially when they know, boy, he doesn't want to do that. But there he goes and he's doing it. That's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. Parents, are you training your children in that way? To be obedient. You know, obedience is something that must be taught, must be learned. It doesn't come naturally to children to just obey. I have five of my own, and I can testify that of their own, they would never obey if I just left them be. And the older they get, that obedience doesn't all of a sudden start coming to them now that they're, you know, 4 and 5 and 11. It just gets worse. So the sooner we start, the better we are. You know, when do we start teaching obedience to our children? When they're in the crib. Wow, that's pretty young. Is that true? I have a... I don't know how old he is. How old is he, babe?
15 months.
He's 15 months. I have a 15-month-old child. And, you know, we've been teaching him obedience for months now. Before he ever turned a year, we taught him obedience. And he's learning. He's learning. He knows what no means. He knows what it means to come here. He knows what it means to go get your brother. He knows what it means to go throw that away. He knows what it means to go get your toys. He knows what it means to go to his room. He does all those things. It's amazing, isn't it, that you can start that early. When we don't start that early, we make it hard on ourselves. And it's also displeasing to the Lord. Again, the Lord commands us to discipline, to train, to nurture our children in the fear of the Lord. This is how we do it. This is one way that we do it, is through our disciplining our children, our teaching, and our training them in obedience. Again, if you're not doing that, folks, you're falling short. You're not living the life that we're called to live as believers. You have your mind set somewhere else rather than where it ought to be. You have a grave responsibility as parents, and you're shirking that responsibility if you're not doing it now. You're in sin. So, parents, a couple words to you then. Again, our homes should be homes where obedience is taught, where there are rules to follow, right? I mean, the passage here says, children, obey your parents. Well, that implies what? That there's something to obey. There's some rules out there. There's some boundaries that have been set. You better have those boundaries. And you better enforce them. And when that boundary is crossed, there best be some discipline. Okay? It's clear. It's scriptural. Is it easy? No. It's not going to be easy. It's not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing. Amanda and I, there's times where we see our kids starting to really go downhill, so to speak. You know, it's like their obedience is waning. They're starting to whine when we tell them to do something. And we step back and we say, okay, we're kind of slacking off. You know, if things have gotten good, we've went through this plateau, everything was great, the kids were, you know, we were being diligent and disciplined and everything was going good, and then all of a sudden here we are at the bottom, we're like, nobody's doing what we tell them. What's going on? Well, honey, I guess we're falling short again. We better get back on it here. We better start spanking them when they disobey the first time. So it's hard, because you get tired of it. It's burdensome, you know, day in and day out, the same thing, especially with a 15-month-year-old. But it's what's required of us. It's what we need to be doing. So there should be boundaries. A home where there are not rules and a home where there is no boundaries, that is not a godly home. That's not a home where there's patience and love and all of these other things that the world says there is. That's an ungodly home. A home where there is no fear of disobeying is not a godly home. Do we understand that fear, our children fearing us, is a good thing? You never hear that. But the fact that our children fear us is good. Now, what kind of fear am I talking about? Not fear in the sense of, I'm scared of dad when he walks in the door after work. But a fear of, well, if I do that, dad's going to come after me. I'm not going to do that because I know there's going to be repercussions. Children that don't have any fear, they don't care what you tell them. They don't care who tells them anything. They don't care if dad walks in and sees them doing it or not, because they know dad's not going to care. Dad's too lazy. Dad's not going to do anything. Whoop-de-doo. I'll tell dad what to do. You know, we're told to fear the Lord. We ought to have a fear of the Lord. And it's a good fear. It's a good thing. In that same way, our children should fear us. A loving fear. A fear of respect and honor. A fear of displeasing us. A fear of the punishment that will come, right? I mean, Hebrews talks about the Lord chastening and punishing those who He loves. We ought to fear that chastening when we step out of line. Our children should be like that as well. A home where there is a godly and a good fear is a good home. Where there are boundaries, where there are limits, where there are lines that cannot be crossed. That is a godly home. And that is what we are to be doing as parents. And as fathers, of course, we are to lead in this. We've heard that time and again. Fathers, are you leading in this? If you're not, you're not being a godly father. You're not leading your home. You're not loving your wife and your children. You're not loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're loving yourself and your own passions and your own desires more than you are the Lord. So, parents, again, have those boundaries, have those rules, have those lines that ought not to be crossed. I have a few examples here to you children. Some things that I've experienced as a child and that I've experienced through my children once more. But pretending you didn't hear is obedience.
Disobedience.
Is disobedience. Let's get that right. You know, when you pretend you didn't hear mom and dad, the Lord knows that you're in sin. The Lord knows you hurt them. The Lord knows what's going on there. You're not fooling anybody. That's disobedience. Saying no to your... Saying no, I'm not going to... Can you...
Oh my
children, parents, the only time no should ever come out of your children's mouths is when you're asking them a yes or no question.
Right.
If a child ever says no, that's just flagrant rebellion and disobedience and just outright
wickedness.
Thank you, brother. Wickedness. That's not obedience. That's not any form of obedience. That's nothing but just outright sin and wickedness. Children, don't ever say no to your parents. We've already kind of mentioned this, but throwing a fit, that's not obedience.
No.
Throwing a fit is you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Throwing a fit after you've been told not to do something, and you're not going to do that thing. Okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to obey mom and dad, and I'm not going to do that thing that they told me. But I'm going to throw a fit the whole time. That's disobedience, parents. That's sin. That's rebellion. That's them telling you, you're wrong and I'm right. I want my way. That's disobedience. That's sin. Complaining, asking why, those are all things that we should not tolerate. Can somebody else do it? You know, all these things. I've got a whole list here, but I'm not going to go into them all. Okay. One other point here from Colossians is Paul says, in all things. Children, obey your parents in all things. What does that mean? Is that kind of gray? Kind of we're not really sure what Paul means there? What does all things mean? It means all things. It means everything. You're told to do something. It doesn't matter if you like it, whether you want to or not. All things. Children, do you understand that you're to obey in all things? Parents, do you understand that you should expect obedience in all things? Not just on the big things. All things. Okay. I want to mention a few things here about what Paul says in Ephesians. In Ephesians, he gives us a little bit more. He says to honor your father and mother. And so I'm speaking to everybody here because, well, maybe I'm not speaking to everybody. Some of us don't have mothers and fathers any longer. There's a few folks out there. But I'm talking to you adults, too, who are mothers and fathers and have a mother and father. Paul says to honor your father and mother. Now, when does that stop? When mom and dad die. That's when you stop honoring them to some degree. But we still honor them in some ways also. Do we understand what it means to honor our mothers and fathers? What is honor? It's respect, right? There's a form of some high respect. Got a few things written down here that I didn't come up with many of these, but these are what other men wrote down that I wrote down. Definitions and things of that nature. Just briefly here, to esteem highly, to set a high value. Is that how you view your parents? Even you who are married, who are out of the house, is that how you view your mother and father? Now, again, let me say we're not talking just about Christian mothers and fathers. Paul doesn't say here, honor your mother and father as long as they're Christians. Paul just says to honor them. Mother and father. So you who are older and who are gone, have your own families, are you honoring your mother and father yet today? We're still their children. We still are commanded to honor them. To think highly of them. To speak to them and of them with the highest degree of respect and reverence. Is that how we talk of our parents? Is that how we talk to our parents? You children, is that how you talk to your mom and dad, with respect and with honor, with love? That's how you ought to talk. Parents, is that the kind of honoring that's required? Do your children yell at you? That's sin. That's clear sin. That's not honoring. That's not honoring anyone. Do we discipline for that?
Yes.
We better. We better. You older children, I'm speaking to myself here also. Do we honor our mother and father? Do we show them the highest degree of respect? Do we highly esteem them? Do we talk highly of them, or do we run them into the dirt when they're not there? Oh, my good for nothing parents. Can you believe this, that, and the other thing? That's not how we are to speak of our parents. They may be some bad folks. They may not be deserving, so to speak, of respect. But we're still to honor them. We're still to show them respect and to show them honor. To treat with respect and submission. We are to honor them in thought, word, and deed. Thought, word, and deed. Not just when they're there, when they can hear us, but in our thoughts as well. Thought, word, and deed. We are to honor our mothers and our fathers. Children, you young children, honor your mothers and fathers. Do we go out of our way? Are we inconvenienced, we older children, to show that honor and to show that respect? When we have unbelieving parents, I've been blessed that my mother and father are believers, but my father-in-law is not a believer. How do I show honor to him? I was convicted of this as I was, I'm preaching to myself here. I've not honored him as I ought to have. That's sin. Am I showing him the love of Christ in the way that I treat him? Am I living Christ before him? Not when I don't honor him. Am I showing everybody around me that I love Christ when I run him into the dirt? No. Honor your fathers and your mothers. Show them the love and the respect that Christ demands of us. Demands of us. The love of Christ. We are to be examples of Christ. A couple ways that we show honor. We listen to their counsel. Right? We don't have to obey it necessarily if it's some poor counsel. But, we ought to at least show them the respect that we're going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to what you've got to say anyway. I'm going to weigh it with a grain of salt because you're an unbeliever, or as a believer, I'm going to take some good consideration into that. But that's one way that we show that we respect and we honor our parents. I remember Bob Jennings talking about this a little bit, saying how his father was an unbeliever, but yet he had some wisdom. He was not a foolish man. And Bob said, there was a time where he should have listened. If he'd have listened to his dad, he would have stayed out of some trouble, would have saved him some headaches as an adult, as a grown man. But he didn't. Our unconverted parents may have some good insight for us. Buying a home, buying a car, making some decisions with our work or whatever, they may have something there for us. They've lived a long time. They may have something for us. We ought to show them respect and honor. and at least consider some things when they do speak. They do love us. They do have our interests in mind. So we can show it in that way. We can show honor. We can show respect and love for them as they're in our lives, as we encourage them to be in our lives. These are some things that we ought to be doing to show honor, to show love, to show respect for our parents. You children, does the Bible speak anywhere of any benefit to obeying your parents? Is there any blessing to that, or is there anything good that can come out of that? What does it say? Okay, it says that you'll live long on the earth. Well, it would appear that the Lord there is telling us there's a benefit, children, to obeying our parents. You know, your parents have your best interests in mind. Your parents love you. And so when they tell you don't do something, it's for a reason. Or when they counsel you in some way, it's because they want the best for you. And as we follow and we obey our parents, we'll stay out of a lot of trouble. We'll stay out of things that we ought not to be in. We'll have an easier life. And generally speaking, we probably will live longer. There's a benefit to obedience. A great benefit. So let me encourage you that although you may not see the benefit now in your youth, there is a benefit to obeying your parents. It's pleasing to the Lord and it is beneficial in this life and also in the life to come. Well, I know I didn't cover my notes. I'm terrible about following my notes. But a couple last thoughts here. I don't know if I've gone long or not, but at the end of both of these verses in Ephesians and Colossians, there are some specific commands to fathers, right? What does Ephesians say? Do not provoke your children to wrath. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. In Colossians, do not provoke your children so that they will not lose heart. So, fathers, we have a responsibility here in this also. There's some responsibilities in the discipline and the instruction and the teaching of obedience. But there's also some other things here that we need to consider. And so I have just a couple thoughts here. Do not provoke them to anger, or do not excite or get them worked up in a bad way, so that they're frustrated, they're discouraged, they just don't know what to do. Do not provoke your children. What are some ways to provoke our children? Well, I have a few here that I've, again, have been guilty of. I've felt some conviction as I went through these things. Overprotection. Are we overprotective of our children? You know, that we don't think that it really is a negative thing usually, but what does that mean? It means we don't trust our children, basically. You know, we don't trust them to do this or to do that. We're going to keep them hemmed in here and make sure we keep our eye on them, and we're not going to let them do anything that, you know, that may hurt them, or, you know, maybe they're going to fail in it. We're not going to let them do that because maybe they'll be discouraged if they fail, or whatever it might be. But being overprotective of our children, we have to let them go to some degree to learn. Obviously, we don't just throw them out there and say, "Oh, see ya." But we let them go a little bit. We let them experience some things. We try to direct them in the way they should go. We let them fail. Failure's good. The sooner they fail, the better, because they'll realize that they're not perfect. And they'll realize that they shouldn't expect to win every single game. That's a tough one for you kids, isn't it? Tell you what, you're not going to win everything in life. Even though you may want to and you give it all you've got. That's a tough one. We had the hardest time teaching Caleb that one. I tell you what, that was a struggle. What is another way? Favoritism. Showing favoritism to your children. Do you value one over the other? Now that'll do some provoking. That'll cause anger. That'll cause some malice there. Joseph is the perfect example, right? His father favored him above all his other sons, and they hated him. Caused all kinds of strife there in the family. Provoked all of his other children to wrath that they wanted to kill him. Don't show favoritism to your children. Love them all the same. Treat them the same. We provoke our children when we discourage them. Nothing's ever good enough. Nothing they do is ever good enough. I struggle with this one because I'm a perfectionist in some things. And so I'm sure I've discouraged my boys from time to time as they've done their very best to help me cut wood or rake the yard or mow the grass or till the garden. And I'm getting better at it, I hope. But don't discourage them in that. Don't cause them to lose heart. Don't provoke them so that they'll give up. Setting unrealistic goals, and this is again something that I'm guilty of. Setting the standard so high as if it was me out there doing it instead of my 10-year-old son. He's not going to rake the yard like I do. And he doesn't care about the yard like I do, probably, and so he's not going to get every single grass blade that's out there. He's going to get it and go, yeah, it looks pretty good. I think I got it all. But these are things, you know, do we set the bar too high? We want to set it high. We want to expect a lot out of our children, but do we discourage them and frustrate them just being unrealistic? He's 10. He's not 30. Do we neglect our children? You know, another example of that is David and Absalom, right? That David neglected Absalom. Look what came of it. Do we neglect them as far as spending time with them? Do we neglect them in the realm of discipline and instruction? If we do, it just causes wrath. When we do then finally decide, okay, we're going to discipline you, what happens? Fury, wrath, utter wickedness comes out of their heart. So do we neglect them? Don't neglect your children. Don't provoke them. Sarcasm, degrading speech, criticism. You know, criticism's good if we use it properly. But just always being critical, always demeaning, always being sarcastic, always running them down. Fathers, that's provoking your children. Inconsistent. Are we inconsistent with our children? Are we inconsistent with the rules? It's good one day, but it's not the next. It's okay to play basketball in the house this time, but if you break something, then you're in trouble. It's okay if we play some football in the basement, but don't break that light, because then it's not okay. Is it okay to do such and such a thing, but when somebody comes over, we don't do that anymore? Or it's okay here, but it's not there. Are we inconsistent? This is a quote. I think this is good for the most part. Fathers should create an atmosphere which will make obedience an easy and natural matter, namely the atmosphere of love and confidence. And I think that's good. I think that's good. A natural matter, we could go into a little detail there as far as children unconverted naturally are not going to obey, but we ought to have an atmosphere where love and confidence abounds, where our children feel safe, where they feel accepted, where they feel loved, and where they know, hey, if I do fail, it's no big deal. Dad's going to correct me. Dad's going to come alongside me. He's going to help me. He loves me. It's no big deal. I can talk to Dad about this thing that I did, or I can do that, or whatever it might be. But an atmosphere of love and confidence. So, fathers, we have a responsibility to demand obedience. We have a responsibility to encourage our children, to keep from provoking them. And it is a weighty thing. And we need the help of the Lord. And so let me encourage you, seek the Lord in these things. Ask for His help. We can't do it alone. Seek the Lord in it and be diligent in it. Be faithful. We've been given these children as a stewardship. Will the Lord say on that day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Hopefully He will. Amen. Let's pray. Father, would You help us with these things? Would You give us guidance? Would You give us leadership in these areas? Would You cause us to be men and women who are obedient to You, who show the obedience of Christ in our lives, who direct our homes according to Your ways? Would You help us to be faithful servants? Help us to be men and women who please our Lord, who show our love for You in our obedience and in our faithfulness. We thank You for the example of Christ. We thank You for that He was that perfect example of obedience, that He was that perfect example of faithfulness. We ask for Your help as we seek to raise these children, as we seek to honor our fathers and our mothers. Guide us and direct us, Father. Bring conviction where is needed. We ask for Your help. Amen.